And I invite you to grab a pew Bible if you'd like, or get out your own Bible if you brought it with you, or if easiest is the best way to go, you just flip open to the cover of your bulletin. We have two scripture readings this morning, both from the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus' famous sermon recorded in Matthew 5. We'll first look at Matthew 5, 43 through 48, and then we will turn to chapter 7, verses 1 through 5. Hear the word of our Savior, Jesus Christ. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. If you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? You, therefore, must be perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Now turning to Matthew 7, verses 1 through 5, Jesus continues, judge not, that you not be judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when there is the log in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God indeed. Well, this morning we are continuing our late fall sermon series, The Body Dynamic. Over the course of this series so far, we have seen that as a community of faith, we are called to reflect the light and life of the Trinity, that we live a life worthy of our calling when we make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit in the body of Christ, and that in the diversity of the body of Christ, we find a unity that glorifies God. For these next few weeks, we're going to move a little bit from looking less at the theology of what it means to be the body of Christ, the church, and more closely at some of the challenges that we face when it comes to being in community together. We're going to look at the role we play in community, and finally, we'll look at what lives at the core of community. This morning, we're going to deal head-on with one of the hardest parts of being in a community together, which is the other people in the community. While our context specifically is a community of faith, I think that what we're going to talk about, you'll find, is true for all communities, whether that is at work or within your family, on a team, playing in a band, being part of a club. Whatever it is, wherever you have a group of people together, any place you have more than one person trying to work with other people. No matter where we are, there are always going to be people who are difficult for us to love. So what do we do? Well, I think that as we dig into this topic today, we will see that when we embrace the love that God has for us, we can begin to extend that love to others. Let's take a moment and pray. Lord God, the call that you place to us is simply to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. And the word seems so easy. Love. Love your neighbor. Love your enemy. Love those who hurt you. The words come easy, the doing is hard. And so, Lord, as we look into your word this morning, we pray for your Spirit to move in our hearts. We pray that we would hear the soft sound of your Son's sandaled feet leading the way. We pray that we would see the invitation in his eyes and the smile on his lips as he calls us to follow him ever further and ever deeper into becoming more and more like your Son himself. Thank you, God, for your word this morning. Open our eyes, our hearts, and our ears to what you have for us today. Amen. Well, there are times I found as a preacher when I have stood in this pulpit here at this church and also at other churches where I feel that I am in as much need of hearing the sermon as the congregation is. And this morning is certainly one of those days. As much as the preacher might be preaching to you today, please know he's even more preaching to himself. Learning how to deal with people in our lives who are the toughest to love is something that I am still very much struggling with and learning how to do myself. And of course, for some, I'm sure that there are some people who find that I am actually the one who is tough to love. Or at least that's what my wife tells me. And that's part of what makes this topic so difficult. Most likely, there is someone in your life who finds you to be the difficult person to love. And that's just part of it. For some of you, that might be hard to imagine. How could anybody have a hard time loving this? I know somebody just thought it other than me. And yet it's true. Because that's the reality of human nature. Trying to figure out how to deal with tough people in our lives starts early. One of the hardest things for me as a parent has been watching my children struggle to get along with their classmates at school and wanting to step in and fix it for them. We've somehow gotten to a point where pretty much any and every conflict immediately gets labeled as bullying. Bullying has become one of those crimes where apparently you are guilty until you are proven guilty. But once I hear the story that my child has to tell, it usually actually isn't a case of bullying at all, but a simple disagreement or one person not getting their way in a situation or who knows what it might be. Now, occasionally, to be fair, it actually is a case of bullying. And in those situations, to be honest, instead of getting on the phone with the teacher or calling the bully's parents, I found that my tendency has been to try to talk through the situation with my child and to try to help them figure out how to handle it better in the future. Why? Well, because no matter how many anti-bullying campaigns the school does, the reality is there are always going to be bullies in life. It's just part of being human. We have bullies in the church. We have bullies at work. We have bullies on the highway. We have bullies in the grocery store. You're going to run into bullies everywhere you go. So we might as well learn how to deal with them. Because we're not always going to have a teacher or a principal or a parent to come and intervene and take care of the problem for us. And that's the thing about the toughest people to love. You're never going to get away from them. Because guess what? Ultimately, they're just people. And you can't have community without people. And that's why being in community is so hard. Because there are people in our communities who are just hard to get along with and hard to love. But the Bible doesn't say that we're called to be in community together unless there's tough people to love. It doesn't say that if there are tough people to love, then you get a free pass on community. You don't have to be a part of it because there's somebody who's hard to get along with. It's cool. You can go live on top of your mountain all by yourself. It doesn't say that at all. In fact, as we read from Jesus earlier, we're called to love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us. But let's not get ahead of ourselves. So, who are the toughest people to love? I probably don't even need to bother listing it. I'm sure when I asked that question, you thought of at least five people in your life right off the top of your head. It's probably a list you're familiar with. Quite. In fact, to say that it has five might be a little short. Your list might be much longer. But I think it's important for us to think this through, but to do so within a few appropriate boundaries. And these boundaries are very important qualifiers for our conversation. Describing or identifying the types of people who are tough to love isn't about slapping labels on people or assigning blame or judgment. Okay? We're not slapping labels. We're not blaming. We're not judging. We're trying to understand. Why is understanding important? Frankly, because if we don't take the time to understand what it is that makes someone tough to love, then how can we love them in the midst of it? So let's go through this. Who are some of the toughest people to love? Well, some of the toughest people to love are those with legitimate, although perhaps undiagnosed, personality disorders. Now, a personality disorder is defined as an enduring pattern of inner experience and behavior that deviates markedly from the expectations of the individual's culture, is pervasive and inflexible, has an onset in adolescence, early childhood, is stable over time, and leads to distress or impairment. I know that was pretty technical, but hang with me. While there are a lot of different personality disorders, some of the most prominent that make community difficult include the narcissistic personality, the obsessive compulsive, the histrionic, and the borderline personality. But here's the thing, guys. Even people with diagnosable personality disorders are still worthy of being loved, no matter how hard they make it. Another group of people who are tough to love are addicts. Drug, alcohol, sex, gambling, internet, shopping, food, exercise. Folks, if something exists, then we are capable of being addicted to it. Gerald May once said, "To be alive is to be addicted. And to be alive and addicted is to stand in need of grace." In seminary, my intro to counseling professor regularly reminded us that we are all addicted to something. When we break one addiction, really what we do is switch to something else to be addicted to. The questions are you addicted to something healthy or unhealthy? And just how much control does that addiction have over you? At its root, the addict is trying to replace the union with God, for which we were all created, with something else. While God is our most deep and original desire, our hearts long for connection, security, and control. Left to navigate our messy worlds, we search for something, anything, which will soothe the ache. We seek what theologians call attachment, something or someone to place our identity in, to help us feel secure, to give us some measure of control. And attachment is the breeding ground of addiction. And then we come to the third group. Some of the toughest people to love don't have any personality disorders, and they aren't addicts. Some of them are simply, as the book of Proverbs describes them, fools. Some accidental fools, some of them profoundly sinister. The thing about it is this, guys. We are all broken, fallen people. We all inadvertently do something to hurt a coworker or lash out when we're upset or wounded or angry. The difference is this. Your honest awareness of secret motives and troubling relational styles shows that you've taken an aggressive posture in rooting out all that might rot your heart and ruin your relationships. Truly foolish or sinister souls are typically quite unaware of their own motives and undaunted by the results of their actions. The Bible describes a fool as someone who cannot see or will not see his folly for what it is, and thus cannot own or acknowledge the damage done to those in the relational debris left behind. But there's a fourth group that's tough to love. And this is the largest group in this room because it is all of us. The toughest people for us to love is ourselves. We know ourselves best. I know my failings, my brokenness, my imperfections. Nobody in this room knows them as well as I do. Not my parents, not my wife, not my kids. The only one who knows them better than me is God. And I have found time and again that the things that make it the hardest to love others, well, frankly, those are the things that I despise the most about myself. But the truth of the second greatest commandment, love your neighbor as yourself, comes to root right here. Sometimes I don't know if that's so much an instruction as it is a reflection. The reality is that we almost always love our neighbors the way that we love ourselves. And sometimes that breaks my heart. Which means we probably don't love ourselves very much at all. So now we have our list, or a partial list at least, a general list, identifying who the toughest people to love are, realizing that the toughest to love is ourselves. Now the question we ask is, well, just how do we love the difficult people in our lives? Now that we know who they are, what are we supposed to do about it? Walk into any bookstore and you will find shelf upon shelf written by people with far more training, knowledge, and experience than I have. So I hope you aren't waiting for a magic bullet or a word of wisdom that will immediately solve all of your relational struggles, because I don't got it. But I think there are some things for us to remember, things that are true about every person, every single person with whom we interact, that will make it easier for us to love the difficult ones in our lives. The first thing to remember, whether we're talking about addicts or personality disorders or fools or even ourselves, is that every person bears the image of God. You see, what happens is our temptation when we come into conflict with people is to try to dehumanize or depersonalize them. Instead of using their name, we call them by pronouns at best or slanderous names at worst. Hence, you'll notice on our social media feeds the almost constant and repeated use of snowflakes and deplorables. I can hate a snowflake. It's not a person. That's the way it works, right? I know I'm not supposed to hate anyone, so if I can dehumanize you, then it becomes less wrong to hate, because I can hate things, right? That's not what Jesus says. Jesus said, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Love your enemies, brothers and sisters, because your enemies are people too. And as people, they bear the image of God, and they are as worthy of God's love as any other image bearer. Eugene Peterson reminds us that people are not problems to be fixed, but image bearers to be known. So often we think that if the difficult people to love would just change, then we could love them. But brothers and sisters, you can't change anyone else. Just ask anybody who's been married for any length of time. By any length of time, I mean anything longer than 5 minutes. The only one you can change is you. So stop trying to change the tough people to love, and just get to know them as fellow image bearers. Which leads us to the next thing to remember. Every person, every image bearer of God has a story. They've been on a journey just like you, and there are reasons for the pain and the hurt in their lives. When you come across a person who is tough to love, an addict, someone with a personality disorder, a fool, even a sinister heart, aren't you even just a little tiny bit curious about the story of their life that's brought them to this place? After all, we all have a story, and we act out of that story every day. Their story, their life, has affected them just like yours has affected you. And how they relate with others is as much a product of their story as how you relate is a product of yours. Which is why Jesus said in our other reading this morning, "Judge not, that you not be judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." I had the opportunity a month ago or so to substitute at the high school. Very first class period I had, it was a group of juniors. The one student didn't want to do the work that was assigned to her. And I kind of kept pushing, you know, just do the work. It's right there. Just read the book. Write down the answers. No. Just do the work, please. I'm going to flip this desk over. I'm like, really? No, you're not. Student stood up, said, "Yes, I am." Again, body language just like mine, totally neutral. I'm like, "You're not going to flip that desk over." Sits back down. Doesn't do the work. A couple minutes later, I'm like, "Would you just do the work? I'm going to day treatment." "No, you're not going to day treatment. Just get your work done." Student said, "Yes, I am." Stood up, walked out the door. And I'm sitting there going, what just happened? Never had a student walk out before on me. Really bizarre. The whole thing was just weird. Called the office, let them know. She did go straight to day treatment. Followed up a few hours later during a free period, went talked to the assistant principal. And he said that she had just been back in school for about 2 weeks after giving birth to a baby. And probably came back a little early. There's always a story. There's always a story. And we all act out of that story. What would it look like if we put more time and energy into knowing each other's stories instead of trying to fix what we think is wrong with them? The third thing to remember, after we remember that each person bears the image of God and has a story that's worth knowing, is that every person, every single person, is worth loving because they are loved by God. And brothers and sisters, that includes ourselves. Jesus said that the second greatest commandment is to love our neighbors as ourselves, which implicitly means that we are to love ourselves. Not in a narcissistic or self-centered way, but because there is something inherently lovable about who we are. And there must be something inherently lovable about who we are, because God loves us. God loves you. God loved you while you were still a sinner. He sent His Son to die for you. John tells us in his epistle that God loved us before we ever even knew what love was. Brothers and sisters, the heart of the gospel of Jesus Christ is that God has loved you. In the midst of your messiness, in the midst of your brokenness and sinfulness, God came to save you. And the toughest person in your life to love, God came to save you in the midst of your messiness. You are worth loving because you are loved by God. And nothing and no one can ever change that. Folks, it is hard to get along with people. And it's always going to be hard. But hopefully, as we remember that every person bears the image of God, that every person has a story to share, and that every person is worth loving because they are loved by God, maybe it'll be a little bit less hard for us to love one another. May God bless us as we seek to embrace the love that God has for us and begin to extend that love to others. Amen. Would you please pray with me? Lord God, again, we come before you to thank you. Thank you for the incredible love that you have poured out on us. You have shown each of us immeasurable grace. Fill our hearts with the grace that you have given to us, Lord, so that we can see others in our lives through your eyes, so that we can see them with the love you have for them, that we can see them as carrying your fingerprint on their soul. And that maybe we can slow down a little bit and listen to their story. Your son did that time and again. And you have called us to reflect his image to this world, Lord. By your Spirit, may we love others as you have loved us. Even the toughest people in our life to love. In your son's precious and holy name we pray. Amen.